No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. All right, so look, this is going to be an interesting show, I have a feeling, because I'm not a big sports fan on it. I'm being totally honest, I watch sports, I'll catch a game here and there, but I really don't follow the teams that much. That's just not me. I don't know, Keith, are you?
I'm not a huge sports fan,
so
especially not an NFL fan right now.
Well, exactly, and I'm with you in that department, as well as a lot of folks that are not a big fan of this whole sideline controversy. That hopefully will wind down and finally go away. But who knows? But I came across a story that ties in aviators and the NFL. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
This is one of I think most pilots, whether you come down on either side of that issue, I mean, even if you're with the players and all that stuff, you will find this quite amusing.
All right.
Because this is where it gets absurd and quite humorous. At the same
time. I would expect you to find that.
Heck yeah. It's right down my alley there. Yeah. It's in my wheelhouse for sure. Okay. So the Los Angeles Chargers tried to set up a TFR over the football games on Sunday. And the reason is, well, first of all, it was a TFR to ban planes with banners. Because evidently, a fan has started flying banners over the sports stadium that the owner was not a big fan of.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
I get where this is going now.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if he's been flying banners about the protest stuff or whatever. I mean, it's kind of loosely related. The one banner I saw says, "Worst owner in sports, Dean Spans, pay your rent." So he's like, at least pay for the stadium if you're going to, create all this controversy. I don't know. He's obviously making a statement. However, the Chargers and the owner obviously was not a big fan of this and decided, well, hey, I'm going to call the FAA and we're going to ask them to set up a TFR, which may not be out of the realm of possibility. But they're, they said, we would like you to make this stop because this is unsafe for our fans and we care about our fans. And, the FAA, surprisingly, I think their BS meter went off because they said no. They declined it. And
so what was the reason for declining it?
Well, the reason is pretty funny, too. You got to give the folks at the FAA some credit on this one because
I'll be the judge of that.
All right. It says the FAA only grants TFRs to stadiums and arenas that hold 30,000 people or more, and since the StubHub Center capacity is under 30,000, the Chargers announced a sellout crowd of 25, by the way, that Sunday. The FAA will not grant your TFR.
So I like it.
They just said, sorry, no one's going to your games. You don't have enough people anyway, so up yours.
You don't care about enough people, in other words.
Yeah, exactly. That is freaking hilarious. I love it.
I think that's great.
Yeah. And I mean, we shouldn't have our rights infringed on as pilots if we want to, pull a banner.
That's right.
Have you ever done that, by the way?
I have not.
That seems like it'd be kind of fun. It might get a little tedious at times.
There's a lot of accidents that happen with that because you're right on the edge of a stall all the time.
Yeah, because you want to go slow so people can read it, or what?
No, just because you're
dragging too much.
You've got a lot of drag out there.
How much does it cost to do that kind of thing?
I don't even know. I can find out because I know people that do it, but I don't know exactly what it costs to do it.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Are you thinking about doing this?
Well, I'm wondering if there should be a trend. If they can't do it in in L.A. over the stadium there, maybe this will start happening on, other stadiums around the country.
Well, I'm sure that it can be made to happen for sure.
Well, of course. That's I'm saying other pilots might want to follow his flight path, and if he can get away with it, others could do it, and you just, turn this into a fun little game. Literally.
The game over the game. I like it.
Maybe we
should start.
We should. We probably ought to, run a banner and just say, hey, listen to Just Plane Radio. Ever heard of us?
What?
Advertise the show.
What?
No. Why would we start doing that? No. Just maybe Just Plane Radio. We're with you. Or something. I don't know. Remove before flight. I don't know. You got to come up with something kind of thing.
Well, we'll come up with something.
But I got to give the hats off to this guy. Or a salute or whatever we do to a fellow pilot.
I think we have to give our hats off to both him and, as much as it pains me to say, the FAA on this.
Yes.
One.
I mean, give props to the FAA for seriously having a pretty good sense of humor and probably a little annoyed by this whole football thing, too, it sounds like to me.
As they should be.
Yeah. I mean, because TFRs, how hard are they to get? I mean, being in Orlando, obviously we have that TFR over Disney.
Yes.
And they've made it permanent. And, in a sense,
unlike their stadium.
Yeah.
The Disney World attracts more than 30,000 people every
day. Well, true. Right. So I guess from that standpoint, it's right. But, Disney doesn't really want planes flying over for the same reason. Wouldn't you think? Part of that is, they don't want planes flying banners over Disney World, whether it's in protest or God knows what else.
Right. Yeah.
We have that all over Florida.
However, their temporary flight restriction that they wanted to have over them so that they wouldn't have that kind of thing happening kind of worked against them when they wanted to start flying drones.
Well, they got an exemption, though.
They did.
Yeah.
But it took them a while.
Right. But, they're Disney. They can pretty much do whatever they want within, as long as no one calls them on it too much.
Well, it's the 800-pound gorilla, so to speak.
Right. But Universal doesn't have one, right?
No, they don't.
Yeah. See, so it's a little, who has the most power kind of thing. And
but Universal doesn't have 30,000 people a day there either.
Well, I don't. Do they? They no. might. Not. It's not that much?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe that's how they get around it. I don't know. I wonder, is that really the only threshold, or in there?
For stadiums, it is.
For stadiums, okay.
Right.
But there must be some other thing.
Well, there are, obviously VIP movements and things
security,
like that.
Security, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a whole laundry list of things that can create a TFR.
Hmm.
And then there's the catch-all that's any other reason that the FAA feels necessary.
Which, at their whim, mean?
At their whim, yeah.
So if the FAA just we don't like the way this looks. Sorry, no fly.
Right.
Okay, and obviously presidential visits and things like that.
Correct.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those always, that's even if the president doesn't want it. He didn't get a choice.
He didn't get a choice.
No.
Well, you have
that's
VP,
an automatic.
Vice president, same thing?
Same thing.
Then where does it go from there? Congressmen and stuff like that don't get them, right?
No, they don't get them.
So it's just the VP and the president.
Right.
Hmm. And but other than that, how could we get a TFR over the Just Plane Radio broadcast studio?
They will not give you a TFR, Greg. You are not that important. I'm just saying.
Don't they know who I am, or is that the problem?
That's probably the problem.
Oh.
They're probably, we won't go there. But
yeah. Yeah, I really don't. I would prefer to have a no drone zone, at least.
Why? You love drones.
Yeah,
why would you not want to have drones?
We're just playing radio.
Buzzing your studio.
You see, we don't want people spying on us while we're doing the show. I mean, it's radio. We don't do TV because, it's a clothing optional kind of presentation we offer here at Just Plain Radio.
Now you're sharing secrets.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. We want to be comfortable so we can entertain our passengers accordingly or abuse them.
That would be more like it.
Yeah. But you don't want that in any kind of visual format. You know what I mean?
No, just the text version.
But the only way we could get one
over. We certainly don't want the drones coming in the windows and, taking pictures.
No, we don't want that. Who would want that? Seriously.
Just close the blinds. If they
I guess that'd be, you'd have to get up and move and over and do all that work. That'd be a lot of wasted energy. Why can't we just get a drone TFR See, I mean, you know, they're marking off areas where you can't fly drones around now. Like,
okay, so you have to move your studio closer to the airport.
Or we have to create some kind of monument that they want to protect in that sense. Like, they did just set up some new, you know, no-fly zones for drones.
They did, yes.
Like Rushmore and stuff like that. Right. I mean, if we
could
get this area.
So if you put a statue of yourself on top of your house,
yeah,
I mean, on top of your studio.
Right.
You know, then maybe they will.
They will purposely come here and try to bomb it, use it as target practice.
Well, I was thinking that maybe that somebody would say, oh, you know, hey, the great Greg, we should make a no-fly zone for the drones.
All right. Well, we're not flying, thank God, because obviously Keith has been drinking. And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so look, there are some new areas where you can't fly drones. They listed all the dams, I guess. There's a whole bunch of places where you can't fly a drone now. They just went into effect, I guess, I don't know, last week or something, beginning of October. Let's see, the dams.
End of September, beginning of October time frame.
Yeah, let's see, national parks. You know, that wasn't based on population necessarily. I mean, the dams would be, you know, security, I assume. But, I don't know, historical parks, maybe. I'm not sure. Who knows what they're thinking. But if you're going to fly a drone, you got to make sure you know all this stuff, by the way, because that... There are some serious penalties attached to this stuff, too. So it's not just like, oh, they're going to smack you on the wrist and say, oh, you can't fly there. It's like, yeah, here's your bill. What? Oh, my God. So it evidently has a little bit of teeth to it. So
definitely has some teeth to it.
Yeah. So be aware of where you can fly your drones. All right. So here's a little nugget of news that caught my eye, Keith. And I know you've looked into this stuff before. And maybe you're even part of this. I don't know. Because, you know, he doesn't tell me everything. Because then he'd have to kill me. But the United States Air Force is working with U.S. Airlines to address the pilot shortage. And there's discussions developing about a joint effort to create a national aviation training academy. Are you aware of this?
No, I hadn't heard this one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys have talked about that at Flight Training Professionals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know, a lot of people are realizing this is going to be an issue. Well, it already is kind of an issue. But the concept would create a school that provides pilots with advanced simulator training. And for that training, it would count towards the FAA's requirement that requires pilots to have 1,500 hours of flight time. So this flight academy would somehow get approval that their sim time would count towards that 1,500 hours, where they could get more pilots in, you know, commercial seats sooner as opposed to later. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great idea. You can do a tremendous amount of training with a simulator, especially the advanced simulation that we have today. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it feels like you're there.
It really does.
Yeah. So,
and there's so many more things that you can simulate with that you can't do with an actual airplane. So it can give you some great experience. A lot of weather things that you can put in there, a lot of system failures, things like that.
Let's see if we can get through the Sully protocol, right?
Nah, let's not do that.
They wouldn't do that?
Nah.
That would just be fun. That'd be extra credit, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be a fun thing to do, but that it doesn't do you much for training.
Well, okay. Well, once again, it'd be extra credit. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But what about, why don't they do this? What is the big problem? Because, like I said, I know you have looked into this kind of thing before and talked about bringing more people into you guys' school across the country. But what would be the holdup, you think? Because it just seems like, why haven't they done this already?
Because there's, you know, you get somebody like us who's, you know, we're a fairly small flight school.
Right.
And then you have other schools that are quite large that have a lot more money to combat something like this, like Embry-Riddle, mm-hmm. University of North Dakota, those kinds of flight schools.
Right.
That go along with a college degree. And it's difficult to fight those people because they've got a whole lot of money.
Okay. So they
what they would probably do is they would probably do this in association with one of those schools.
I gotcha. Because they're so entrenched already, if you did that, you'd be bypassing the school, you think? Is that kind of what you're saying is one of the potential holdups, maybe?
I don't think you'd. I think that Embry-Riddle would not enjoy saying, okay, you could go here and you go right to the airlines because they believe they have the proper program for you to get to the airlines.
Got it.
That's why they immediately began to petition for reduced flight training or flight hours for their training program. Instead of 1,500 hours, if you go through their program with a four-year degree, mm-hmm. you can get in with 1,000 hours.
Got it.
If it's a two-year degree, it's 1,250 hours.
Right. Well, do you think, why isn't the sim time counting now? Is it or is it not?
Only some of the simulator time counts.
Only some.
Yeah.
But they obviously want to spearhead this effort and increase it. The airlines want to do this.
Well, the airlines just need pilots.
Right.
They need qualified pilots. And to be honest with you, I don't think the airlines really care how they get them.
Yeah.
As long
but
as they get qualified pilots.
That 1,500-hour flight time requirement is from the FAA, not the commercial airline.
It's actually from Congress.
Okay, so Congress would have to change that requirement first.
Right. And the FAA will be very quick to tell you, whoa, 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 whoa. We had nothing to do with that. We were told that we were going to
That's what
have
it needed
this.
To be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so, and that came out of the Buffalo crash back in, 2010, I believe it was?
Yeah.
Something
and they
like
came up with this threshold like, hey, you got to have at least 1,500 hours to
right.
fly a commercial airplane.
Correct.
Okay. So, that probably won't change, but using the sim time to count towards it would make it much more accessible to an individual that wanting to go through the program.
Well, that and the fact that military training is considered very, very stringent. And so the military believes, see, when they set this program up that you had to have 1,500 hours, the schools like Embry-Riddle, University of North Dakota got together and said, you know, hey, we've got a really good training program here. Why can't we have a reduction in time?
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave them 1,000 hours, and they, you can get now what's called a restricted ATP. So you can go into the airlines with 1,000 hours or 1,200 hours, 1,250 hours, but you're restricted to fly as a, you cannot fly as a captain until you have at least the 1,500.
Okay.
Right, so you cannot, so
have to be a first mate or whatever.
You have to be a first officer. You cannot move over to the left seat until you have at least that 1,500 hours. Not a big deal because most airlines have a company time requirement and or sometimes both a minimum flight time requirement of, say, 3,000 hours or 2,500 hours before you can move over to the left seat. So that's not a big deal.
Okay.
But then the military said, well, what about our guys? You know, we spend all this money on training, and it's very regimented training because we train these guys and girls to, you know, fly, you know, jets in combat situations. You know, it's pretty strict training.
Right.
We should have a reduction in time as well. And so they have a deal where if you've gone through military training, it's 750 hours that you can get into the airlines.
Huh.
And so now with the National Academy, I'm sure what they're trying to do is take their training program, say, we'll take our training program that we use to train our pilots for combat and what have you, and put them through a very strict regimented program in our simulators and put them into the airlines with lower flight time.
Okay. Well, that makes
sense. Or at least the 1,500 hours.
Right.
But we could do it quicker with the simulator.
Streamline the process.
There you go.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith. As we navigate the latest aviation news and information, Santa Monica Airport back in the news because evidently they're in the process of shortening that runway now, literally doing the work. And, you know, it's annoying when you see what they're doing, especially after all the hurricane stuff. Didn't they hear us talking about how all the airplane pilots were helping Puerto Rico and you know, people affected by Hurricane Irma down there in the Florida Keys? I mean, if it weren't for GA... those folks would have really suffered, especially in the early hours. They got there before the government even did, some of these pilots, including Tom Haines from AOPA.
That's right. Absolutely.
So when Santa Monica has that earthquake thing, which it's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, you know, they're going to need
it. It's going to happen.
They're going to need the airport, and they're going to go, "Oh, why did we shorten the runway so they can't get all this stuff in here now?" Just because they're annoyed with the noise and stuff. But here's the kicker. The story comes out this week. You know, they're starting the construction project to shorten the runway in Santa Monica. And not only is it really not going to make a big effect on the noise by shortening the runway, they say maybe by 40% or so, but they don't know. I mean, the planes are going to make racket no matter how much runway they have to go with, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker is it's costing them like over $4 million to do this. So it's costing Santa Monica money to shorten, to tear down their runway. Over $4 million? Oh, my God. If I was a local taxpaying citizen, I would not be a happy camper about that. You know what I mean? That would just be annoying.
I totally agree.
So, you know, who knows what is going on with those folks over there, but I think it's pretty short-sighted and definitely not good for general aviation. So, I definitely think they are the most hated airport in the entire country right now. Are you with me on this?
Right now, I think they are, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not not
pretty
airport.
Pretty close behind Migs Field in Chicago.
Yeah, at least the city council folks that are making it difficult for the pilots in those areas. So, take it for what it's worth. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, so you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Keith, navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Santa Monica Airport is in the process of shortening their runway and making it more difficult for GA to get in there. They really just want to limit the jets that fly in there and need a little extra runway space. And the city council there in Santa Monica has been fairly successful overall. Getting their way. And, you know, the FAA agreed to some deal that by, what, 2028, they could potentially lose their lease altogether. They've been doing all these backhanded things, like not letting the FBO sell, you know, fuel or something. They've been doing all this kind of sleazy type of work behind the scenes to kind of sabotage, you know, general aviation. Because the local people there, or at least the city council folks, are annoyed that it makes too much noise. And it's prime real estate or something that they could do something else with. But I think it's mostly the noise issue, isn't it?
It's mostly noise, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
from what we've read and heard from other people, yes.
I mean, there could be more to it. Like, there could be some development issues. Who knows? But regardless, I mean, yeah, you live there. You bought a house by the airport. It wasn't like the other way around. You know what I mean? I mean, it's been there
as
forever.
As in most cases. The airport was there before the homes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of screwy and short-sighted, and obviously a big factor for the general aviation community in that area. And this effort to save Santa Monica Airport in this is kind of turned into a national thing because, you know, AOPA is behind it, and they see this as a potential precedent for other areas in the country. If someone gets a, you know, hair up their butt about the aviation noise, next thing you know, you're doing this fight all over the country.
Like the mayor of Chicago.
Right,
he set the precedence.
Yeah, and he just bulldozed the runway.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's
made
just
it a park.
Not a good
very
scene.
Few people use compared to what the airport was.
Right. And it's just annoying, short-sighted, and it only takes one or two people to, you know, start an effort like that. Next thing you know, they've screwed over their city and a lot of folks that use those amenities. So, you know, it affects our community on a precedent level that we need to be aware of, I think. And that's why AOPA in particular has really been working on this for some time. And, you know, we have till 2028 to make sure they don't at least close down the whole thing altogether. But that potentially is where it's headed. That's where the city council would like to have that happen, have it go away altogether.
So we should talk to Tom Haynes.
Yeah.
He's our good friend.
He is. We know him.
Let's see if maybe having a fly-in and have multiple people doing landings and takeoffs and
just make all the noise and ruckus we can.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to play to your favor or that's going to backfire. You know what I mean? You know, but I like the way you're thinking. I do like that. But maybe we take a page from or a banner from that guy who's flying his banners over the NFL stadium or the StubHub stadium in Los Angeles. And, you know, maybe we start flying banners over Santa Monica. Save our airport!
Well, you know, what they don't understand is, you know, taking away fuel from the FBO and those kinds of things and taking away larger aircraft, they're taking away taxes.
Well, right.
They're cutting down the revenue of the airport.
And they're spending $4 million just to tear it down. There's a banner for you. Hey, your city council just spent $4 million of your taxpayer dollars to tear stuff apart.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
So what they're probably thinking is, you know, hey, if we build houses here, we can get more taxes out of it.
Maybe.
That's probably what they're thinking.
I mean, it's prime real estate. There's no question about that. But, you know, don't they have enough houses in California already?
And the only way you could move in California is by air. You can't move on the ground.
Right.
Because the freeways are all full.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a mess. But
so
maybe,
let's add more people to the freeways.
Right. Let's do that. That makes sense. We don't have enough smog in our area already. Let's add more. We need more people here. Yeah. Who knows what they're thinking?
Plus extra weight.
I don't think they are thinking, honestly. I think it's just someone with a, you know, it's kind of like almost like a homeowners association that's gone wild. You know what I'm saying? That's what it kind of plays out to me. It's like you just think of these crotchety old folks or something that are
that
just
have
like,
no authority anywhere else in their
airplane.
Life.
You can't fly that airplane in my backyard. I'm tired of that. You know, you just, I mean, I hate the stereotype, but that's kind of how it comes off.
You sounded very, very, very good. I mean, like.
I do a good crotchety old guy?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Is that your normal voice? And this is
just years, I think. No practice. I think it was just years. Yeah, but, you know, who knows how this will play out, but it's definitely something that we got to stay on top of and make sure it just doesn't, you know, turn into a common thing across the country. I mean, we're already dealing with this way too much as it is. And, you know, airports are important, and there's a lot that goes into them. Matter of fact, one of the things, I got this article this week, too, about how they're looking at airports development and how to modify them over the next, you know, 20 years or whatever. And they're looking at the fact that climate is going to affect how they build the airports. Because, you know, the waters may rise. You know, this isn't going to turn into a discussion about whether you believe in climate change or not, because I don't really care. The thing is, though, they do say the water levels are rising. Okay? So if the water levels rise, I mean, I know for a fact, you know for a fact, there's a lot of runways in the Caribbean in particular that are not very high above sea level. And so
some of them are underwater as we speak.
Well, true. Right. And so they're looking at the future saying, okay, when we build our next airport, we got to make sure it's on higher ground, or we're going to have to look at ways to modify these airports that we have already or these runways because of the potential issue of climate change. What do you think of that?
Well, these hurricanes that came through, Maria, for instance, that came through the islands that mm-hmm. devastated Puerto Rico, having an open airport is imperative to rebuilding the infrastructure.
That's right. That's the first thing they got to get open. They can't even get the hospitals open and supplies.
Yeah. I mean, they have to have first aid. They've got to have generators to for life support things for people that are in critical condition that need it. Food, water, the necessities of life.
Mm-hmm.
And airports are, man, they couldn't even get in the ports initially. So, I mean, the airport's the only way to go.
Yeah.
Well, you look at Haiti years ago when they had the earthquake there. You know, we flew things into Haiti. The airport was the only thing that was available to get in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, airports are crucial to the economic or economy, I should say, of either a country or a city. It's huge. If they actually sit down and do the study instead of just worrying about the noise, it's a huge boost for the economy.
Well, no doubt about that. But what do you think about this issue with this climate change thing? I mean, if the water level goes up, I mean, obviously that's going to affect, you know, some low-lying airports in the future. I mean, what they're saying with this article is that, you know, engineers and architects and stuff are planning and figuring this into their design, like, hey, we've got to make the runways higher to compensate for the fact that the water level could rise. But the ones that are already there, you know, what do you do? Just require the planes to start, you know, packing skis or something? Or, you know?
Well, I think, you know, some of them, especially like in the islands and stuff, you know, they can elevate those.
Yeah, just put more like shell and goo and just build it up that way. Well, I guess that's.
I mean, there's airports, you know, in other parts of the world that are built in the water, and they've just. I mean, they just.
Well, Dubai, the entire
the whole
island,
thing.
Right? Yeah, so I guess they could do that.
Yep.
And it isn't like going to happen overnight necessarily anyway. So they will have time to, like, okay, we got to add an inch. The water raised an inch in the last 20 years. We got to build up the runway because it doesn't, like, happen very quickly, but it could go up.
Could go up.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to have that because they have to be open after a catastrophe like these hurricanes that we've had.
Right. So they got to get barriers and things.
Like Houston.
Right. Yeah. You get some kind of flood thing going. Yeah. So, it's something to consider. And I guess they are looking at that already. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays. But definitely interesting little tidbit that they're filtering into their designs and things for future airports and how it affects us. Who knows? Like I said, the other element, if you have like a small little 172, you might want to get your seaplane rating.
Okay.
Just to prepare for the future, right? If nothing else, it'd be just a little continuing education that might come into...
Which is always good.
Useful application later on in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, me too. I'm in.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plane Radio. That is Tom Petty. Obviously, you heard the news. We lost him couple weeks ago. It's kind of sad, but I love his music, and we will continue to play it as long as I'm at the helm. I'm in the jump seat. Is that where I'm at? But
you would be in the jump seat. That is correct.
By the way, do you see that guy, the Wolf on Wall Street, that Leonardo DiCaprio played in the movie, which I know you didn't see the movie. You don't go to movies, do you, Keith?
No.
All right. Well, he played a con man, okay? This is a famous con man, and they made this big movie, Wolf on Wall Street, and Anyway, I see an interview with the real guy on TV, and he's a con man and got arrested, and he turned good, and now he, you know, tells the government what you need to watch out for and all this kind of stuff. And it was some security breach issue thing that they had on Fox or CNN or something. And he was talking about some of the con things that he had done. And one of them was the fact that he had been able to, back in the day, con the airlines that he was a pilot and flew all around the world and country on a jump seat. And I'm like, Where have I been? No, how could he do that? Maybe that was before like 9/11 and stuff, you think? Or was it that loose? Where, I mean, you just had to have like maybe a little card, like a fake ID where you could say, hey, I'm a pilot. Yeah, can I fly the jump seat to the Bahamas this afternoon on your flight or what?
Well, years ago, it used to be
pretty loose.
It was a lot looser than what it is now.
Well, I'm
you
sure.
Just went up and you
it's
talked
not
to
that
the,
easy.
Yeah, you went up and talked to the captain. You showed him your credentials, and you know, he said, "Yeah, sure, come on in." Nowadays, there's safety mechanisms built in.
Yeah,
and you have to be in the system to.
All right, so it's all computerized now. Where you have to book it like an online ticket kind of.
No, but you have to be there's. There's one database for all of the participating qualified crew members.
Okay.
Okay. And so you go to the gate, you have to show them your information, and they pull you up. If you're in the database, they can go ahead and they can schedule you to get on the airplane, and then you verify it with the captain to get on the airplane.
I see.
So it'd be a little bit more difficult for somebody to do that today. However, I guess if you could steal somebody's identity.
Yeah.
And make yourself look like somebody else.
Okay, you have a full beard. If I
well, that,
my
that, that would be
all the way out.
That would be a deterrent right there because they would know I'm not an airline pilot because I've got a full beard.
Ah, so I'd have to shave off my goatee.
You would, yeah.
Mm. And say I'm.
You can keep the mustache if you want.
Okay, all right. I'd just be yeah. You've never seen me without the goatee.
Yeah, no.
It's not a good look.
So, but like I'm saying, you have to try and look like somebody else, and if you can pass all that and pretend like you know what you're doing, you might be able to get on.
Might be, huh? But it's pretty stringent with the IDs and stuff.
Nowadays it is, yes.
Yeah, but I was like, golly, this guy really pulled off a serious scam. But back in the day, they didn't have that. So how did you know who was qualified to, you know, fly in the jump seat? Did they just have to kind of talk cocky, like, you know, Tom Cruise and Top Gun or something? Oh, yeah, I'm a pilot. Yeah. Hey, where are you flying this afternoon? Well, what's the what are the years aloft looking like?
Well, no, really what you had to do was you just had to find out what hotel pen they had in their pocket and what newspaper they had.
What hotel pen? What do you mean?
Well, because if you stayed at a hotel last night, you probably grabbed a pen because pilots always need pens. And so they grabbed the pen from the hotel.
Yeah.
And, you know, pilots stay at different hotels every night, so... What hotel pen you got in your pocket? If you don't have a hotel pen in your pocket, you're probably not a pilot.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, that's one little tip. That probably won't get you anywhere today. But back in the day, it used to work pretty well, huh?
Yeah.
So how many times did you do that, Keith?
Many times.
You want to come clean?
I rode the jump seat many, many times.
Right, but you did it. You never did fidge at all?
Oh, no. I was legit.
Did you ever know anybody who pulled one over on them like that?
No.
No, okay.
No, everybody I know that's done it's all been legit.
Yeah,
but,
and
you know,
legit, we mean
I hang around with, you know, people that are above the law. So
present company excluded?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't hang around with you. I mean, I do the show with you, but, you know.
We're acquaintances, not friends. Yes, no, we kid. Yeah, we can do that because we are friends, but yeah. No, you know, the thing is, it's an interesting story he told, and I just found it amazing. I was like, wow, could you really pull something like that off? And I don't think you could today. I really don't.
Today would be very difficult,
yeah.
I think.
But, I mean...
It's not impossible, I don't think.
Yeah, the aircraft pen thing, I mean, or hotel pen, he probably used that little technique, but there had to be other little things that would, like, tip the guys off. You'd have to have the aviator glasses, probably. Talk a good game about, you know, maybe about the weather. Hey, what are the winds aloft? You know, talk airplane lingo.
Yeah.
You know, and it would get, it'd kind of give it away. It's like when I was flying a few weeks ago and I ran into the guy that does precious metal on the airplane. He was sitting next to me. Remember I texted you the picture?
Yep.
And he was a super nice guy, but the reason I knew he was a pilot was not that he was wearing a jacket or anything. It was like they started talking and... Like, yeah, hey, the winds aloft look like that. I'm like, he is a pilot. Hey, you guys are pilots, aren't you? You're talking the airport lingo, and I know that stuff. And so I picked up on it, and that's how we started our conversation.
And then did he stop right away after?
Well, you pretty much as soon as I, you know, talked for more than 5 seconds and said I was associated with Just Plain Radio.
And then he
said, okay, all right, nice to meet you.
We've had enough, yep.
Yeah, no, he was really, he invited us down to do a show, so we're working on that.
That's good,
yeah,
we should.
We're going to go down there and do a little thing. You know, I got to go to the Turks and Caicos first, though. So next week I'll be, you know, coming back to tell you how awesome it was and how you should have been there. And, you know, the diving was awesome. You know, we flew over crystal, you know, clear waters, turquoise colored vistas.
Yeah.
Get ready for it because it's coming, buddy. It's the one thing I get to do to these guys to make up for all the bulb busting they give me about learning to fly. And on that note, we'll end it. Remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.